Practice Test 2. Listening Section. Listen to part of a lecture in a biology class.
Okay, so today we're going to continue with a discussion about the aquatic environment. Specifically, I'm interested here in some of the adaptations that make survival possible in estuary conditions. Now, as you know, the thing about the estuarine environment is that because the tide washes in and out twice a day, the salinity, that is, the amount or proportion of salt in the water, varies, or can vary considerably, throughout any 24-hour period. When the tide is out, the water may be near freshwater levels, and when the tide is in, the levels of salt may be more like seawater. When the water's in between seawater and freshwater, it's called brackish water. By this term, we mean water that is typically less than 30 parts per thousand of salt. So, plants and animals that live in this environment must be able to adapt to these constant changes in the saltiness of the estuary waters. So, what are the kinds of adaptations that estuarine organisms have developed? Well, the most important are either physiological and/or behavioral. Regarding the first, the physiological, the bodily adaptations tend to be associated with maintaining the right balance of salinity within the body. Some organisms, generally known as osmoregulators, control their internal concentrations of water salinity when the external environment changes. This word, of course, refers to osmosis, which, you don't need me to define osmosis, do you? Good, okay. Usually this kind of creature is less permeable to water and salt. Crabs are a very good example. Crabs that live in the estuarine environment keep out both water and salt with their hard shells. But in addition, they may have internal organs and cell functions which can regulate salt intake and excretion. Also, certain species of fish, which adjust to differing saline conditions, have specialized kidneys, gills, and skin. Specialized kidneys and gills are able to switch between excreting more or less water and also between absorbing more or less salt as conditions permit. So, the combined properties of gills, kidneys, and an impermeable skin allow them to live in conditions of varying salinity. Plants as well as animals may use osmoregulation to survive, since in saline habitats, salt levels can reach deadly levels. A common species of grass known as smooth cord grass has adapted through its complex root system. These roots are able to remove salts from the water they take in. Such plants can also expel salt through their leaves. And in some species, they can also shed leaves that become loaded with excess salt. Okay, so what about the behavioral factors that help creatures exist in the estuary? Well, a common adaptation, especially among invertebrates, that is, creatures without backbones, is the ability to dig or burrow into the soft mud. Now, of course, this helps them avoid being eaten by predators such as birds or fish, but it's also an important advantage for species that cannot osmoregulate, cannot control the concentration of salt solution in their bodies. This is because below the surface of the mud, the concentration of salt is less than in the open water above. And what's more, the temperature is less variable, which is also beneficial for creatures that don't tolerate changes of temperature. On the other hand, creatures such as oysters and clams don't like to have too low a level of salt. So these organisms simply close their shells tightly when the level of salt becomes too low, during low tides. At this point, they stop feeding and stop breathing through their gills. When the high tide returns and the oxygen and salt levels increase, they open their shells and feed and breathe oxygen again. Other creatures are more mobile, and this too, by the way, is a behavioral adaptation. They can move upstream or downstream as conditions require. Certain crabs live in low salt areas because they can osmoregulate, but their young may not have developed this ability. So during breeding season, such species may move to areas in the sea with higher levels of saline. In the blue crab, for example, the females migrate to water of high salinity to hatch their young. Then the new generation of crabs moves back to fresher water as they develop into adults. So, does that make sense?
Now get ready to answer the questions. You may use your notes to help you answer. 1. What is the lecture mainly about? 2. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
Some organisms, generally known as osmoregulators, control their internal concentrations of water salinity when the external environment changes. This word, of course, refers to osmosis, which... you don't need me to define osmosis, do you?
What does the professor imply when he says this?
This word, of course, refers to osmosis, which... you don't need me to define osmosis, do you?
Three. What two adaptations are mentioned that allow crabs to survive in the estuary environment? Four. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
Certain crabs live in low salt areas because they can osmoregulate, but their young may not have developed this ability. So during breeding season, such species may move to areas in the sea with higher levels of saline. In the blue crab, for example, the females migrate to water of high salinity to hatch their young. Then the new generation of crabs moves back to fresher water as they develop into adults. So, does that make sense?
Why does the professor say this?
So, does that make sense?
Five. Indicate whether each word or phrase below describes a physiological adaptation or behavioral adaptation. Six. The adaptations of which estuarine creature are not discussed in the lecture?